and 52 as well. So 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So the mystery in verse 51 is that everyone in the body of Christ will not sleep, but everybody will be changed. And as you look in the categories, like in verse 50 there, you probably hardly recognize it, but in verse 50 it says, "Now this I say then, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Then you see the word "neither." Well, flesh and blood are those who are alive. People who are dead, they don't have flesh and blood. Their flesh corrupts and their blood decayed. And so that's why it says, "Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So there's two groups of people in the body of Christ, those who are asleep and those who are alive. And it doesn't matter if you're dead or alive, when Jesus Christ comes for us, we're all going to be changed. And that's the mystery that's unique to the age of grace. Now, we've studied that already. What we've been looking at and started looking at last week is some of the details concerning that change. In verse 52, we're told it's going to happen in a moment, and as if a moment is an undecisive period of time, he kind of gets down to a little bit narrower piece of time when he says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye," which has been calculated to be 1/100th of a second. And then it says, "At the last trump." And I told you last week, and it just every time I study this and prepare for this, I keep thinking to myself, I wish Paul was there. How could you use the word "last" and never tell me "first"? You know, you search the context, and I'll show you some things in the context in a little bit, but just to throw out "at the last trump" as if you're supposed to know what that last trump is. And so we started looking at it, trying to figure out what's that last trump, because a lot of it will actually depend on what you think that last trump is, will determine when you think the rapture will take place, because this change that's going to take place for us is certainly what we call the rapture. We'll relate it later to 1 Thessalonians when we're caught up. That's where you get the word rapture from. But but here it's called the last trump. And some people make this trump, they see the last trump and they go over and go realize in the book of Revelation there's seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and then vial judgments. So they say, okay, when you get to the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation, that's the last trump, and that's when the rapture will take place. Well, we looked at that last week and realized that seventh trumpet, it begins to sound right at the middle of the tribulation, and then when it finally does sound, it breaks out into the final vial judgments that'll bring the end of the 7 years tribulation. So that seventh trump is right around the middle or just past the middle of the tribulation. And if that was the last trump, then the rapture would take place in the middle or just after the middle of the tribulation. I'm going to show you another one in just a minute where if the point was all last week, by the way, that's all we studied is could this be the seventh trump of Revelation? And the obvious is that the seventh trump and the last trump are two different terms. the seventh trump in the book of Revelation is not the last trump that's ever going to be sounded. So there's a difference between the last trump and the seventh trump. And the seventh trump, when we looked at it in the book of Revelation, it's a trump of an angel. And when we looked at that, I threw out, and just for correction, in Revelation 10, it said that when that trump begins to sound, the mystery of God as revealed to his servants, the prophets, will be finished. And a lot of times, you see the word "mystery" there and think, oh, wow, that's the age of grace. But it's the mystery that he revealed to his servants, the prophets. It's Amos 3. I told you it was Amos 5 last week. It's Amos 3, with verse 8, I think, where it talks about the prophet Amos. He says, "Surely God will do nothing but what he revealeth his secret," which is the same as mystery, "to his servants, the prophets." And then I said it also compares to Isaiah, I told you, 55. It's Isaiah 48. See, I no longer have a wide margin with notes in it anymore. I had to do that for memory. But anyhow, Isaiah 40:48, the prophet Isaiah, God speaking to him, keeps telling Israel that I'm going to tell you new things that I never told you before, so that when they come to pass, you can't say, my prophet knew it, my God knew it. So he begins to tell them, he's going to tell them new things. And those new things has to do with, and in even Amos, what he reveals to his servant the prophet, is that God's going to chasten Israel with wrath. And that's the first half of the tribulation. And that's over in the middle of the tribulation, and then God turns his wrath on the nations of the world, Gentiles, before the second coming of Christ. So anyhow, that seventh trump has nothing to do with the last trump and has nothing to do with the rapture of the church. One of the other things I want to show you. Come to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to reference Matthew 24:15 the next hour. So since we're here, and I'm not going to be able to have you turn to the passage, I know I'll run out of time before then. In Matthew 24, the Lord told him about the destruction of the temple, which is something for you to realize is going to take place not just in 70 AD, but maybe even some destruction that's going to take place before the second coming. Either way, it says in verse 2, and Jesus saith unto them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So that's the question, three-part question. When are these destructions going to take place? What's the sign of your coming, and when's the end of the world? So he starts telling them about wars and so forth, and verse 8 says these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 15 is the verse I want you to keep a remembrance for the next hour. It says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which are on the housetops not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that give that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So you went from the beginning of sorrows, and that abomination of desolation takes place right in the middle of the tribulation. That's that mark of the beast and all of that. And it's time for Israel to get out of Jerusalem, because desolation is going to take place. The city is going to get destroyed, and then the Lord's going to come back, and it's going to be the end of the world. Well, look at verse 27. It says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered. He's coming back in great judgment, going to be a lot of death. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign. What's the sign of your coming, remember? Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now notice, so that takes place immediately after the tribulation. So now we're at the end of the seven-year tribulation. Jesus Christ comes back. And then when he comes back, verse 31 says this, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So there is a trump that sounds after the seventh trump, isn't there? Because now we're not in the middle of the tribulation. It's after the tribulation. Jesus Christ returns, and the angels sound the trumpet. And then all his elect, that's the nation of Israel that he promised to gather back. By the way, I got an email that I got to answer. No, a letter that came in for Forgotten Truths. It's often asked, is everyone talks about the gathering of Israel back to the land in 1948 and how that's the fulfillment of prophecy. No, when God gathers Israel back to the land, it's after the tribulation. Do you see that? We just read the verse, get out. He didn't gather them back. He tells them to get out of Jerusalem in the middle of the tribulation. He gathers them back after when he comes back, when it's now safe. The point in looking at that is in verse 31, because Paul said, at the last trump. And some people think the seventh trump is the last trump, but it's not. Here's a trump that sounds after the seventh trump, and I don't believe it's the last trump yet. Because when they set up the millennium, when you read I'll show you the verses, when they had different feast days, Israel was to sound trumpets. And this won't be the last time an angel sounds a trumpet. So these verses about Israel isn't what Paul's talking about when he talks about the last trump. We'll try to narrow that down, but we've already learned a couple things. Do you remember last week when we talked about the angel, seventh angel sounding? It says, in the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, and it says that the mystery of God will, as revealed to the servants of prophets, shall be fulfilled. We were noticing last week where we kept, even in the book of Revelation, when we talk about a trumpet, it had a voice. A voice is associated with a trumpet. And I think that's important to try to figure out what we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But there's something else that you learn about a trumpet in Matthew 24 here. When those angels sound the trumpet, it says, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So a trumpet is blown, and there's a gathering that takes place with a trumpet blowing. So even though maybe these aren't the trump that we're talking about, you learned about the purpose of a trump, that there's a voice in the trump. It's saying something. And the purpose of the trump is the gathering there. So a gathering together. And so we see the at least the purpose of the trumpet. Said all that without looking at my notes, see where we're at. Well, let's pick up on that idea of the voice. I want to go back and talk about the voice of the trumpet and the purpose of the trumpet as we try to narrow down what we're talking about. The first time trumpet is used in your Bible is Exodus chapter 19. Now see, if Paul would have just told us what the last trump was, we wouldn't have to do all this Bible study. But I'm always been told that God's word is written in such a way that you always have to study. God just don't give you a spoon and give it to you flat out, that sometimes you got to do a lot of a study to figure something out. In Exodus 19, this is where the children of Israel are going to meet with God on the mount. They're supposed to prepare to meet God. It says, verse 10, Exodus 19:10. It says, the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Interesting that anytime Israel is going to prepare to meet God, they have to wash. And here, wash clothes, you know. Anyhow, that's part of the baptisms of the nation of Israel. Verse 11 says, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord shall come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not be a hand touch it, but it shall surely be he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether he be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. So there's going to be, there's a gathering there at the mount when that trumpet sounds. Verse 18, verse 16 it says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that the people, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." Now there you go, you got that voice of the trumpet again. The trumpet is sounding and there's a voice to the trumpet. Verse 18 it says, And Mount Sinai was altogether a smoke because of the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended up as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So there's the voice of the trumpet and the voice of God in that same verse there. And then Moses goes up to the mountain. God warns him to go down and tell people don't come close to the mount. And then chapter 20, God sounds out the Ten Commandments. So you see the first association gathering an alarm, so to speak, but the purpose of the trumpet was to gather the people, and the trumpet had a voice and God spoke through that voice, through that trumpet. Now, when I say God spoke through that trumpet, it might not be that clear here, but compare that to, go all the way back to the book of Revelation now, chapter 1. Now, this is John beginning to see he's caught up into the future day of the Lord. And it says in verse 9, it says, Revelation 1, 9, "I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of the Lord and for the testimony of Jesus. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." So the trumpet that had a voice is saying words. It's actually describing the voice of God as a voice of a trumpet. But the voice of the trumpet, there's words involved in there. If you look over in chapter 4, you get the in between there, the Lord Jesus Christ gave John warnings to the seven churches of how they're going to, what they need to do to endure the tribulation. And then you get to chapter 4 and verse 1, and it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So John is going to get further revelation of what's going to take place through the day of the Lord. And this is where he starts getting the visions of all the things that are going to take place concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. But again, the voice that he heard at the beginning is talking with him. And that voice that sounds like a thunder said, "Come up hither." And John was caught up into the heavens and saw from heaven's point of view the judgment that's going to take place on the earth. So you get used to the fact that God's voice is like a trumpet, right? Now, one other thing. Well, yeah, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this one you're going to want to hold your place there. And we're going to be comparing these two passages, the 1 Corinthians 15 and the 1 Thessalonians 4. But I wanted to point out to you, I said it last week, that when I talk to you, sometimes I'll say trump. But the only time you actually find the word trump in your Bible is only two places, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Everywhere else, it's trumpet and the voice of the trumpet. And there's a difference. A trumpet is the instrument. The trump is the sound the instrument makes. That's why it says, when he began to sound, concerning the angel with the trumpet. When he finally blows the trumpet, that's the trump. So back in chapter 15, we're talking about at the last trump, that last sound of a trumpet. And the other place that's found is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse 13 so you realize this is the rapture verse. This is where you even get the term rapture from, because it's the rapture means to be caught up. And sometimes it can be caught up in excitement, but here you're actually going to be caught up in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope." So it's going back to the same topic that's in 1 Corinthians 15 about those who are in the body of Christ that are asleep, that are dead. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." I always find that interesting. He's going to come with him. Well, that's because you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. Your body's here, waiting to be resurrected. Resurrection, we said from the beginning, is of your body. But their soul and spirit is with the Lord in heaven. And when Jesus Christ comes back from heaven, they're coming with him to be reunited in a resurrected body when he raises the bodies from the dead. Verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," means go before, "them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel," and there it is, "and with the trump of God." So the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15 is here called the trump of God. It's not an angel sounding a trumpet, it's the trump of God. And it says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up," there it is, "together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So the trump of God, and the very fact that God's voice is like a trumpet that declares something, consider that this trump is the trump of God. It's the voice of God. Now, I'm going to come back to that, but I need to show you something else as well. I just find this intriguing. Hold your place, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I also want you to look at Numbers chapter 10. And when you were in Exodus, I was going to do it because it was close, but I forgot to tell you then. I've often gone to Numbers 10 to talk about the purpose of the trumpet. So a trumpet is a voice, and in our case, it's going to be the voice of God, not the voice of an angel. And the purpose of a trumpet is laid out here in Numbers chapter 10. And what I never paid attention to, and I'm not sure if it figures in, but it's interesting. As I read through Numbers chapter 10, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Notice there's 2 different trumpets, and it has a couple different purposes, and even the 2 trumpets at different times are sounded at different times. And that could tie into at least our thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Numbers chapter 10 verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee 2 trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, and thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps." Got a double purpose right there. You got a call to assemble and then journey. Then you're going to go. So there's an assemble and a journey. Verse 3, there's more purpose, by the way. It says, "And when thou shalt blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes of the heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves together unto thee." Interesting. If it only blows once, only some of the people go, not everybody. Interesting. Verse 5. "And when ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. And when you blow an alarm the second time," there's 2 trumps, right? "Then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys." What happened to the west and the north? There's only 2 trumps in this thing. And 2 different people gather at 2 different times. You see the 2 all the way through here? Yeah. Anyhow, I got to get to my conclusion. Verse 7. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And there's a difference between the sound of a trumpet, too, between whether it's an alarm for war or whether it's a sound for gathering. So anyhow, that you have to spend some time thinking about that. That's real intriguing, the purpose of the trumpet and how closely that's associated with us, whether you're talking 1 Corinthians 15 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, with that, then, the question of what is the last trump? To me, part of that has to be solved with if it's going to happen in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when in the world is the first trump? I mean, Paul would have to tell us what this first trump is somewhere. And I want to kind of give you some ideas about that. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And again, some of this is just some thoughts for you to think about, because it's a little vague what he says last trump. And then especially if it's a last, there's got to be a first somewhere. And the first thing I would do is start looking in the chapter. Well, there's a lot of firsts in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 45. It says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So I'm not sure that the first goes back to Adam, but it is interesting that Jesus Christ is the last Adam, and at the last trump, we go meet the Lord. And it's going to be his voice, the trump of God, that we're going to hear, that we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So it at least associates the last with the Lord Jesus Christ in that verse. And then you talk about, you know, like in verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Well, what we're learning is that when we get raptured at the last trump is verse 49, as we have bore the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's why he had to tell us we're going to all be changed, because we're going to go into the heavens. And it's going to be at the last trump. And we're going to bear that image of the heavenly at that time. So it has to all tie in with that transformation. But there's something else about 1 Corinthians. When we studied 1 Corinthians, even though it was verse 51 that we wanted to study and see what this mystery is, we started all the way at the beginning. Because everything in chapter 15 is associated with resurrection, starting with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Which, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, the first four verses center around the gospel. And I think that's a clue. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So he goes over the gospel message that says you're saved if you believe what I preached unto you at the first, and he talks about what he preached to them at the first. Well, I want you to consider the fact that when Paul preached to them at the first, that might be the first trumpet. Because, I say that because, look at Romans chapter, I'm going to take you to three verses. Go to Romans chapter 1. The first verse in Romans, the first book in the Bible, chronologically, as we have it, not chronologically, but as in the order that we have it in the Bible, our introduction to the Apostle Paul and what he wrote and was revealed to him, it starts out in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So Paul has a unique ministry to go out, and notice when he goes out, it's verse 5, concerning that apostleship, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his namesake, for his name. So Paul's apostleship centers around going out with the gospel to the nations for them to have the opportunity to obey. And how do you obey the gospel? You believe and you're saved. You disobey by rejecting the message. So Paul goes out and he's preaching the gospel. But when he's preaching the gospel, this was our study on Wednesday. Come to Galatians chapter 1. Now Paul had preached there, and then the people got away from the gospel that Paul preached. So Galatians chapter 1, it says in verse 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. So Paul preached to them the gospel, and they removed from the gospel. When they removed from the gospel, they removed from the grace of Christ, they removed from the gospel of Christ. But actually, it says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you. Well, I thought Paul preached to them. But if Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, when Paul goes out and speaks, who's actually calling them? God. And when they turned away from the grace of Christ, the gospel of Christ, they turned away from him who called them. Paul didn't say, I called you. He's actually making the Galatians realize, you didn't just move away from me, you moved away from God. He called you by his grace. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this has to do with the timing of the tribulation, and Paul is encouraging them that we're going to be delivered from the wrath that's coming, and so he says in verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, every time you read about the age of grace, God calling for us is before the foundation of the world. And now he says that God chose us from the beginning unto salvation. The beginning, he's talking about the day of the Lord all through this chapter. He's not talking about the beginning of time. He's talking about from the beginning of the day of the Lord. Before the wrath is poured out, God has chosen the body of Christ to salvation. We're going to be delivered. Watch what it says. God hath chosen from the beginning, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now watch this. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the first thing I want you to see in there is that it's God called you by our gospel. So when Paul went out and spoke, that was God calling them by giving them the gospel message through Paul. And then the other thing I want you to see in that verse, that the calling is not just when when Paul first went out and preached, certainly God has called them to salvation. But there's going to be another call that's going to come to salvation when we're called off of this earth into the air. Look at again verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, notice the next phrase, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When are you going to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we studied the resurrection. You're going to have a body like unto his glorious body when we're raptured up, when the dead are raised, or when we're changed. We're going to receive a new glorified body. And here, that we're going to be called of God to that. Well, that's that trump in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That there's going to be the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The trump's going to be sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them. When we're caught up, we're going to be changed in that moment in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. So that this calling of God... What I'm trying to say to you is I'm thinking that the Apostle Paul would have us to understand that the last trump is the last call of God to our obtaining salvation. So when's the first call of God? When he sent Paul out to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That's the first calling of God. That's the first trump of God. And you got saved by trusting that. And the last call for us is the call to heaven. There's not another call after that, because now we're forever with the Lord in heaven. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm pretty persuaded that that is the last trump that Paul is referring to. The gospel call, but the final end of the gospel call, when we're called out of this earth, delivered from the wrath to come. In fact, Galatians says that Jesus Christ died for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And that would be at the last trump. So the gospel call is the first, and the last would be the final call when we hear that trump of God and we're raptured out. Now, there's another aspect, but I'm not going to be able to reveal it in a couple minutes, so I'm going to wait till next week. That is another idea about the last trump that's close to what I just said. What I just said to you is what I personally believe the last trump is, and the first trump. But there's another right in Paul's epistles to compare and look at. So I'll save that for next week. Anybody question or comment?
Could the first trump be when he actually called Paul from heaven?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, but it's, he called Paul, but then he's also calling all the whole body of Christ out. So I wouldn't just limit it to Paul, because it's the purpose of Paul is to call us out. So could be. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for a Bible that's just fun to study and does have information in it. Sometimes we ask questions and pray, Father, that we know to turn to you in prayer and ask those questions, so that our eyes of understanding can be opened, and we won't get confused with Israel's call and tribulation times, but focus in on the body of Christ and our hope. So thank you for this hour, and pray for further understanding in the next hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.